The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Okay, well, welcome to a Tuesday. Hopefully today's better than yesterday was. Well, and the audio probably will be because I don't have a guest today. And we figured out that's where the problem was. So if you're just tuning in, let me explain to you what happened. I had, the bane of my existence. I had a computer meltdown this weekend. My main computer, which, by the way, was a custom-built, really big, powerful computer. It usually serves me fairly well. Over the last week or so, it's been really sluggish. It's just been kind of hiccuping. It's just been doing things wrong or not quickly enough. It's just not been right. You know, you can always tell when it's off a little bit. So I decided, I want to kill everything that's running on, not kill, maybe that's the wrong word. I want to stop all the programs that are running in the background. I want to reboot it and start sort of from scratch. Well, I had no idea how from scratch I was going to make it, because in the process of turning everything off before I rebooted it, I made it impossible to get back in. So it was an unforced error. I'm probably misusing the sports term, but my own fault. Because I thought I knew what I was doing, and I clearly didn't. So after spending a full day trying to get back into the computer with every password and every trick possible, I finally gave up, and I called the evil entity, Microsoft. I couldn't call them because they don't have phone support anymore, but there's a chat thing that you can get on. And so actually the guy that I dealt with Sunday evening for a few hours was really good. He really helped, but things weren't fixed yet. But enough so that I could get up and running, I got back in. What happened is we had to reinstall Windows. And what he told me was, when you reinstall Windows, you're going to lose, first of all, you lose all your third-party programs, which really sucks because I got a few things that I can't replace. That's number one. Number two, he said all your data will go into a file. It'll be your Windows.old file on the C drive. It'll be there. So I trusted him. That was my second mistake. So we got all that done. He left. I got back on the computer yesterday morning. I told you this at like 5 o'clock in the morning and went looking for those files, thinking I'll just put everything back and where it's supposed to be. It's going to be a pain in the ass, but it'll be okay. And there was nothing in that file. Nothing in the file. There was one, it said like program files or something. There was nothing in it. So I get back in the queue to get on the chat with Microsoft. And this time I didn't have Karen, the person who helped me Sunday night, who was great. I had Victor. And Victor fucked me over so hugely, I can't even tell you. So basically this computer, I told you, it's a big, powerful computer. It's got dual hard drives. The C drive, a solid state drive, has all my programs on it. The E drive has all the data, also a solid state drive. This computer should be blazing fast, and they're big drives. Anyway, what he did was he set it up. He said something about using one. First, he said something about one drive, and I said, no, I have two drives. And then I realized he was talking about that Microsoft cloud program that I do not use. And I told him, I don't use OneDrive. I don't use Google Drive. I have a Dropbox account and I back up a lot of stuff in there, but not everything, unfortunately. And so did he listen to me? No. What he did was he he remoted into my computer to fix things. And he set it up so that everything goes into OneDrive that lives on my C drive. So he took a really screwed up situation and made it even worse. So now I'm just trying to, I got to move everything out of the C drive. I just want to flip this whole console over and let it crash to the ground and walk away. But I can't do that because if I did that, I couldn't work. So here we are. And then on top of it all, I had a great guest lined up for you today and she had to postpone. So believe me, I was ready to say, okay, there's no show today because this just can't. But there's so much news going on. So I figured here's what we're going to do. I pulled a bunch of video. And Old Sage Joe says, I have all Apple devices. For my simple needs, they all work together. Here's the thing about Apple. I started with Apple. First of all, you know, I worked in music radio for a million years. The programs we use to schedule music, this program called RCS Selector, only runs on a PC. And the audio editing program, which I've now lost, that they don't make anymore, I use. It's ancient, but it's so good. It's called Cool Edit Pro. And that also only runs on a PC. In fact, the audio editing software for Macs are so complicated. I don't like the Mac. And the thing about the PC is you can usually get inside and tweak things and fix it. And on a Mac, you can't. Plus, they're so expensive. Tamara saying, oh my God, Nicole, can you redo it back to a previous date before the problem arose? No, because I locked myself out and I had to reinstall Windows. Everything before then is wiped out. So yeah, just another fun day in my life as I'm already dealing with two broken ribs, having to move, having to sell a house, having to find a place to live, looking for a job. All right, I'm going to stop because I'm going to get too upset. So let me tell you what is going on today. So much that I wrote a list. And by the way, the phone lines are open because today is sort of an anything goes day. So 954-889-6410 is the number. If you're on Skype, you can Skype into Nicole Sandler. Kimchi said, I'm sorry your husband died. She said, I just bought a new computer. Someday we will get the hard drive out. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's always something, isn't it? All right, so let me tell you what's happening in the news. First of all, today is Election Day. 5 important primaries today. Arizona, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and Washington State. Now, first of all, we have a friend in Washington State. Lucas Kuntz has been on this program easily half a dozen times. I met him through Howie Klein. Lucas was a Blue America endorsed candidate early on. And he's the real deal. I mean, he is so good. Actually, I was going to start with something else. And you know what? I still will. I'll get to this later if we're still here. So the Lucas Kuntz, primary, he's got about 5 other Democrats running against him, but Lucas Kuntz stands the strongest shot, I think, of winning his election. In fact, you know what? Maybe instead of playing the long piece that I was going to play, no, that's too long. Here's a new ad. Let's do this. I'll play you, I think, what might be one of his final campaign ads, or maybe not. It's just a recent ad. Let's put it that way, in case you're not familiar with Lucas Kuntz. Veteran, progressive, Lucas Kuntz.
Billionaire heiress Trudy Bush Valentine gave her campaign millions to lie about Lucas Kuntz. Lucas Kuntz, the most agile and well-prepared candidate in this race. St. Louis Post-Dispatch endorsed Lucas, saying, there's really no contest at all. That Valentine came off as unprepared and unconvincing. And the contrast between the two couldn't be more stark. Trudy's trying to distract with her money. Trudy can't buy Missouri.
I'm Lucas Kuntz, and I approve this message.
So that's just one ad. There's so much more. And did I say he was in Michigan? He's in Missouri. Michigan is just one of the states that has a, or Washington State has elections today. Lucas Kuntz is in Missouri. If I didn't make that clear, I apologize. Hold on. Anyway, I just watched a video that he posted and that maybe I'll play for you later on. The reason I'm not playing it now is it runs 10 minutes, but I tweeted it out and it's already gotten, I mean, it just sort of exploded. And it's Lucas's brother, who is a trans man. And the way he spoke about his brother is just so heartwarming. So if we have time later, I will play that for you. But here, if you're in Arizona, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, or Washington State, and you haven't yet voted, please get out and vote. There is absolutely nothing more important at this moment. Okay, so other stuff that's happening, again, my notes. Nancy Pelosi touched down this morning in Taiwan. You know, as I was writing my What's News, it was at some point today she may or may not land there. She hasn't announced her plans. She hasn't done anything. So I didn't know, and I recorded it, and as I'm editing it, I have, you know, the CNN playing in the background, and it was wheels down in Taiwan. So I had to re-record that section of What's News, and which was fine because I try to get it to be as current as possible, knowing that as soon as I hit upload and it goes up to the server, that something is going to be dated in it. That's the problem with doing like one newscast a day. Anyway, right around the time she landed, which was around 6 a.m. Eastern time, which was 6 p.m. there. They are 12 hours ahead of us. I've learned because I'm thinking maybe we'll call Taiwan. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. I'll have to ask you guys. Anyway, but I want to share with you Nancy Pelosi's editorial that went live at the Washington Post right around the time she landed. Because if you're like me, you're wondering, why is she poking the tiger? China's pissed. In case you hadn't heard, they're talking about retaliating, like military retaliation, because Nancy Pelosi is going to Taiwan. And I thought, why? Why is she going? Why is she? Why? So this may explain it. So here she writes, some 43 years ago, the United States Congress overwhelmingly passed and President Jimmy Carter signed into law the Taiwan Relations Act, one of the most important pillars of U.S. foreign policy in the Asian Pacific. The Taiwan Relations Act set out America's commitment to a democratic Taiwan, providing the framework for an economic and diplomatic relationship that would quickly flourish into a key partnership. It fostered a deep friendship rooted in shared interests and values, self-determination and self-government, democracy and freedom, human dignity and human rights. And it made a solemn vow by the United States to support the defense of Taiwan, quote, to consider any effort to determine the future of Taiwan by other than peaceful means, a threat to the peace and security of the Western Pacific area, and of grave concern to the United States. End quote. Today, America must remember that vow. We must stand by Taiwan, which is an island of resilience. Taiwan is a leader in governance. Currently, in addressing the COVID-19 pandemic and championing environmental conservation and climate action, it is a leader in peace, security, and economic dynamism, with an entrepreneurial spirit, culture of innovation, and technological prowess that are envies of the world. Yet, disturbingly, this vibrant, robust democracy, named one of the freest in the world by Freedom House, and proudly led by a woman, President Tsai Ing-wen, is under threat. In recent years, Beijing has dramatically intensified tensions with Taiwan. The People's Republic of China has ramped up patrols of bombers, fighter jets, and surveillance aircraft near and even over Taiwan's air defense zone, leading the U.S. Defense Department to conclude that China's army is, quote, likely preparing for contingency to unify Taiwan with the PRC, People's Republic of China, by force. The PRC has also taken the fight into cyberspace, launching scores of attacks on Taiwan's government and Taiwan government agencies each day. At the same time, Beijing is squeezing Taiwan economically, pressuring global corporations to cut ties with the island, intimidating countries that cooperate with Taiwan, and clamping down on tourism from the PRC. In the face of the Chinese Communist Party's accelerating aggression, our congressional delegation's visit should be seen as an unequivocal statement that America stands with Taiwan, our democratic partner, as it defends itself and its freedom. Our visit, she writes, one of several congressional delegations to the island, in no way contradicts the long-standing One China policy guided by the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979, the U.S.-China joint communiques, and the six assurances. The United States continues to oppose unilateral, efforts to change the status quo. Our visit is part of our broader trip to the Pacific, including Singapore, Malaysia, South Korea, and Japan, focused on mutual security, economic partnership, and democratic governance. Our discussions with our Taiwanese partners will focus on reaffirming our support for the island and promoting our shared interests, including advancing a free and open Indo-Pacific region. America's solidarity with Taiwan is more important today than ever, not only to the 23 million people of the island, but also to millions of others oppressed and menaced by the PRC. 30 years ago, Pelosi writes, I traveled in a bipartisan congressional delegation to China, where, in Tiananmen Square, we unfurled a black and white banner that read, To those who died for democracy in China. Uniformed police pursued us as we left the square. Since then, Beijing's abysmal human rights record and disregard for the rule of law continue as President Xi Jinping tightens his grip on power. The CCP, China Communist Party's, crackdown against Hong Kong's political freedoms and human rights, even arresting Catholic Cardinal Joseph Zen, cast the promises of one country, two systems into the dustbin. In Tibet, the CCP has long led a campaign to erase the Tibetan people's language, culture, religion, and identity. In Xinjiang, Beijing is perpetuating genocide against Muslim Uyghurs and other minorities. And throughout the mainland, the CCP continues to target and arrest activists, religious freedom leaders, and others who dare to defy the regime. And Pelosi wraps it up by saying, we cannot stand by as the CCP proceeds to threaten Taiwan and democracy itself. Indeed, we take this trip at a time when the world faces a choice between autocracy and democracy. As Russia wages its premeditated illegal war against Ukraine, killing thousands of innocents, even children, it is essential that America and our allies make clear that we never give in to autocrats. When I led a congressional delegation to Kyiv in April, the highest-level U.S. visit to the besieged nation, I conveyed to President Volodymyr Zelensky that we admired his people's defense of democracy for Ukraine and for democracy worldwide. By traveling to Taiwan, Pelosi writes, we honor our commitment to democracy, reaffirming that the freedoms of Taiwan and all democracies must be respected. And I get it. Look, you and I have talked about this before, right? I think many of us are of the belief that what is happening now in Ukraine, Taiwan is likely next. Now, as much as I don't like war, you know, I also believe that we have a responsibility to work with our allies, to work with the few remaining democracies around the world to make sure that it survives, because the alternate is inconceivable. To have, you know, Russia's, to have authoritarian regimes running the nations of the world and pushing democracies out is unacceptable. Now, how do we avoid it? I'm not really sure. Without risking lives and you know, blood and treasure, as it were. I don't know. I don't know the answer. That's one reason why I'm not in politics, and I don't want to be president. No, Taiwan is really important. So, you know, here I'm at a crossroads. I'm thinking, you know, and a bunch of Republicans even applauded Nancy Pelosi. Some who really don't like her say, yeah, I got to give it to her. She's got some balls, maybe using different words, but, you know, but that's what they're saying. The only person criticizing her, of course, is the big orange balloon, you know, the former guy. Who will criticize anybody who's not him? So here's what I was thinking. Should I call a hotel in Taiwan? Now, what I would do is not say the name of the hotel, because obviously I don't want to get anybody in trouble. That's the only reason I hesitate in situations like this. Because, you know, mainland China, Beijing, as it were, is monitoring what's going on over there. You know, I thought I could call one of the really nice hotels in Taipei and ask for Nancy Pelosi. And when they say either she's not here or sorry, I can't connect you, talk to the person. So let me look at the chat room. Should I do it? Should I call? Okay. Yeah. Should I call? I don't know. All right. So I'll try calling. I don't know if it'll work. Here's a hotel in Taipei. Again, I'm not going to say the name of the hotel because, I don't want to get anyone in trouble. So let's see. And by the way, it is 5:21 in the morning there now because they're 12 hours ahead of us. But I figure if I call a hotel, somebody's got to be working, right? And this hotel says they have 24-hour customer service. So, okay, there's the That doesn't seem like enough numbers, but let's try it. See if it works. No, there's not enough numbers on that. How is that possible? All right, so I got to find a different hotel because that doesn't give me enough numbers to dial. All right, so I want something in Taipei. So it's so funny because the prices on these hotels in Taiwan range from, I saw one for $15 a night. Here it is, the Sleepbox Hotel for $15 a night. It's a 3-star hotel with free Wi-Fi. It's kid-friendly and have air conditioning. And then there's, you know, the ones that are thousands of dollars a night. That's probably where Nancy's staying, right? I somehow seem to have pulled up here's one for $554 a night. Let's see if they have a phone number listed, because sometimes they don't have a phone. Oh, they do. Okay. But again, this is not going to be the right enough numbers. The number you entered is invalid. You know what? I called one earlier that had more numbers than this. So I'm just going to keep looking until one shows me. See, none of these have enough numbers. It's the +886. That's the country code and I guess the city code, right? 1 8 8. Okay, 6. Let's try this. 4. Oops. 4. Yes. 9. Yes, I have the country code. Yes. No, that's not going to work either. All right, this really sucks. So, all right, let me see if I can't find the one that I called that had all the numbers I needed. Although I called it and let it ring for a minute and didn't wait for them to answer. I just wanted to say, okay, this was the one. It's not in Taipei, but this one has enough numbers. All right, this is the last one I'm going to try. If it doesn't work, then we're moving on because, you know. All right, 6, dot, dot, dot. See, that has more numbers. All right. Let's see. Oh, okay. It's ringing.
Morning, Ninghao.
Hi, do you speak English?
Yes, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling from the United States. I'm actually looking for Nancy Pelosi. She's not by any chance at your hotel, is she?
Okay.
I guess that's a no. Yeah,
Can you speak slowly? Oh, sorry about that.
Nancy Pelosi, who's the United States Speaker of the House, is in Taiwan visiting today. Have you heard?
Nancy, let me check for you. You say her name is Nancy?
Yeah, Pelosi. I don't think she's at your hotel. I think she's in Taipei. But I wanted to get talk to somebody a Taiwanese citizen to find out if you knew that this high-ranking American official was visiting today and to find out what you thought about it.
Oh, okay. But because if she is visiting Taipei Hotel, then I need to confirm with Taipei Shangri-La Hotel.
Okay, I don't know if she's there or not. I just picked your hotel. But I'm more interested in talking to you. I don't think Nancy will take my call. Did you know that the Speaker of the House of the United States is visiting Taiwan today?
Sorry, I don't know this issue.
A high government official of the United States is visiting Taiwan to show her support for the people of Taiwan today. Did you not know she was there?
I don't know. Sorry about
no?
that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you don't? Do you not want to talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay. I fully understand. Thank you for talking to me. I understand it's beautiful there, and just want to let you know that you do have the support of the American people.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't want to talk. Yeah. And I understand. You know. I tried. I tried. She just wanted to connect me with Nancy. Yeah. So anyway, she is. But here's the thing. So here, it's all over the news. We know that China is threatening military action in retaliation because Nancy Pelosi is visiting. And the people of Taiwan likely don't even know she's there. They don't know who she is. They don't care who she is. They don't know that a high-ranking American official is over there to show support for the Taiwanese people and their democracy and their independence. Just saying. Yeah, no, that conversation wasn't going anywhere. I'm not going to call again because they don't. It's not only that part of it might be that they couldn't care less. The other part of it could be that they're scared because if China is monitoring, and I purposely didn't say the name of the hotel, but she did. So let's move on, shall we? Because there's a lot of other stuff to talk about today. Oh, I played the wrong Lucas Kuntz ad. Oh, that's all right. I got other stuff. I do have other stuff to share with you. So we have this deal, right? The Senate was debating, as much as they debate, the Veterans Health Care. The PACT Act is what it's called. That was, now, remember, just back a few days ago, Republicans who previously had voted overwhelmingly to advance this legislation to provide health care for veterans who were subjected to those burn pits while serving in the military and now have horrible health issues, this was a bipartisan bill. But after Chuck Schumer and Joe Manchin announced the deal they had cut to put out another bill through reconciliation that will deal with climate change and health care, like letting Medicare negotiate drug prices, things like that, they were pissed. Why were they pissed? The Senate Republicans were pissed off because the Democrats finally pulled one off on them, finally got one over them. Finally took them by surprise. Nobody knew that Manchin and Schumer and whoever else were putting this deal together. And they were angry. And they're like, the Republicans said, we came to the table. We promised you we'd pass this bill only because you said you wouldn't do anything like this. Well, they never made that deal. They never made that deal. Oh, okay. Whoever called just hung up. I would have taken your phone call. You can call in. Phone lines are open, 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler if you want to join in. Anyway, what's so funny, not funny, haha, funny, curious, is that they all, you know, the country had the same reaction I did. Wait a minute. The Republicans are angry because the Democrats got one over on them? Okay, caller, hold on 1 second. I'll get to you in one moment. Your call came through this time. And so to get back at the Democrats, they fuck over the veterans. Yeah, that makes sense. Screw over the veterans who you claim profess to support. So now The Republicans, after taking days of grief over this, now they're going out of their way to support the legislation. Of course, Pat Toomey introduced his nonsensical amendment because this legislation did not change at all. But today they're all, you know, coming out of the woodworks to back it. All right, back to it in a moment. First to this call, I believe from the Nashville area. Hi, who's this? Caller?
Oh, good afternoon. This is Charlie Grace. How are you?
Hi, it's Charlie Grace.
That's correct.
Hi, what can I do for you, Charlie?
Well, we were just talking about this whole situation with veterans, and I was very, very disappointed in the fact, and you're talking about like it was retaliation. No matter what it was, in the face of what's going on with America today, we need to support our veterans, and that was a really horrible thing to do.
Horrible. Just reprehensible. And, you know, I'm not even going to go there. No, reprehensible. And they're acting like this is, you know, the normal course of events. Well, the Democrats did something we didn't like, so we have to get back at them some way. We take it out on the veterans? That's perverted.
Yeah, it's not needed. I know we're never going to get to this whole we're all one country, we're all one party, but we have to agree on one thing, and if that one thing is just our veterans, it has to be that.
Yes, I fully agree. And it looks like today, you know, they got the message. Wrong group to take your anger out on. I mean, one has nothing to do with the other, and that's who they choose to make an example of in order to what? Own the libs?
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. There's been lots of different media outlets, but the ones I've really been having a blast with is honestly seeing Jon Stewart sort of lose his, you know what.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm glad you brought him up because I pulled video. Jon Stewart today went on Newsmax. Not only did he go on Newsmax, which I don't watch, but he was out at the Capitol protesting with these veterans. So I'm gonna share that clip. As soon as we hang up. So thank you for calling. Is that all you called to say?
Yes. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Bye. All right. So Jon Stewart has been making media appearances. He's gone on all the networks. He's gone on all the cable channels. When Fox didn't have him on in the first place, he called them out. So they had to have him on. And then today he goes on Newsmax. Check this out. This is just great.
Must work with Republicans and fix this issue to prevent inflationary spending that will hurt all Americans. Once that happens, the PACT Act will quickly become law. Before you react, I just want to ask you, too. I'm sure you've read about discretionary versus mandatory spending. That seems to be what has changed. They did have the 84-14 vote, and then once that changed, many Republican votes changed. Your reaction, sir?
First of all, I'm glad he wrote it down, because sometimes when people just lie orally, it's very hard to pin them down.
Ooh.
So what I would ask you, and it's sort of what I asked you last time, you said something there that I think is the key sentence. You said when they changed the discretionary to mandatory after the June vote, that's when the senator switched. And I keep trying to tell you this, and this is not an opinion. This is a fact. Go on congress.gov. The bill that they voted for, 84-14, had the exact same provisions that they are complaining about in it.
Yep.
So I would ask you to ask Senator Cruz to point to the change. You can look at the bill side by side. The bill that they passed on June 16th, 84-14, did not have one word added to it to the bill that they
not
shot down
word.
In July. There was no gimmick inserted.
Nope.
There was no change from mandatory to discretionary.
Nope. Nothing.
It is utter nonsense. I appreciate the fear-mongering as someone who responds very well to fear-mongering and gets scared. But that is just factually incorrect. And one of the biggest problems we are having with this bill is the misinformation that comes out of supposedly credible sources like Senator Ted Cruz.
You
so
go.
Please don't take my word for it, sir. There was no change.
There was no change.
The House flagged a blue slip rule.
Yep.
It's one sentence concerning a provision about rural providers that had no, it didn't change the funding, the way it was funded. This is not a Democrat ploy. This is the way the bill came out of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. And by
I wish the clip didn't cut him off, but that's where it ended. But he's on fire, and the Newsmax guy is going, blah, 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 blah. He didn't change one word. You know, I tuned in for a few minutes to the hearing, and I saw Pat Toomey keeping this line of bullshit going. They didn't change anything. The Republicans voted it down simply because the Democrats beat them at their own game, and that is doing something sneaky. Nothing underhanded or diabolical about it. They were doing their jobs. But it was sneaky. Yeah. All right. I'm trying to figure out what else I want. There's so much. Let me share with you, if I can find it, this tweet. You know what? Let me close these windows for Taiwan, because I'm not going to call there again. Let's go back for just a moment to Bernie Sanders. Actually, to today's election day. So Bernie Sanders went on a endorsement bender yesterday. He endorsed a whole bunch of people. I think he endorsed 30 some odd candidates. Among them, Lucas Kuntz, of course, in Missouri, who we already talked about. In Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, and who's obviously a member of the squad, and Andy Levin, who we don't hear enough about, but he's also a really good progressive. And Bernie flew out to Michigan to participate in a rally for them, saying this.
Taking on folks who spend many, many millions of dollars putting stupid ads on television. That's hard. And by the way, if you think these super PACs are the billionaires who contribute, give a damn about the people in Michigan or Detroit, you would be absolutely mistaken. They could care less about you. They run the same damn ads in Pittsburgh, in Ohio, in Texas, same thing. They don't care about the people. All they want to do is defeat progressive members of Congress and progressive candidates. So this election is particularly important. It's important because Andy, based on his work, deserves to be reelected. Rashida deserves to be reelected.
Hold on, caller.
But it is equally important in saying that the people of Michigan have got to tell these billionaires and their corporate PACs they cannot buy our democracy.
Hold on one second.
The last point
that
I want to make is this. What these super PACs are saying is about Israel has nothing to do, in my view, with Israel. It is simply trying to defeat candidates and members of Congress who stand for working families and are prepared to demand that the wealthy and large corporations pay their fair share of taxes.
You go, Bernie Sanders. That was Bernie Sanders out in Michigan, where he was campaigning just yesterday for Rashida Tlaib. And for Andy Levin, again, if it's election day where you are, please vote. Really, nothing's more important. Okay, so a call came in while I was playing that clip. Here's a bit of housekeeping for you. The same pot on my mixing board where I play the audio for these clips is where the phone comes in. So if you're calling in, you can't hear what's playing. That's why I tell you to hold on. So, caller, are you still there?
That's yes.
Okay, hi, what's up?
So this is Jonathan. I just wanted to say that Arizona, whoever lives in Arizona, please vote because we need to vote. We need to make sure that in November we vote. And in August, whoever lives in Arizona and Washington, or the state in Missouri, please vote.
Yep. Please vote. No matter where you are. Go ahead.
For my generation, because I'm kind of worried because of the climate and how we probably might, it's scary times. We don't want, it's scary times. We need to vote because it really is, it's not good.
No, that's true. Hey, Jonathan, I'm going to run. It's hard to hear you. I know Jonathan is a listener. He's in the chat room. Thank you for calling. But speaking of Arizona, let me share something with you that happened today. So, you know, I'm kind of invested in what happens in Arizona because that's likely where we're moving. Nothing is set in stone yet. I don't know anything for sure, but that's likely where we're moving. And there's a gubernatorial race. So today, people are voting in the primary. Senator Mark Kelly is up for re-election, and he's being, he's being challenged by a number of crazies on the right. And there's a governor's race. And you may remember, if you've been listening for a while, about a year or so ago, Katie Hobbs was on this program. Katie Hobbs is the Secretary of State of the state of Arizona. She's a Democrat trying to keep her sanity amidst all the cyber ninja recounts and all the just the crazy shit going on there, right? So Katie Hobbs is running for governor. So it looks like she will win the Democratic nomination. She'll be the Democratic candidate for governor. On the right, there's again dueling right-wingers. Mike Pence is supporting, I don't even remember her name, is supporting the less extremist Republican, but she's still pretty damn bad. And of course, Donald Trump is supporting this woman, Carrie Lake. Now, apparently, Carrie Lake was a TV anchor person and wasn't batshit crazy maggot when she was on television, but she is now. So MSNBC reporter Von Hilliard caught up with her today. And I'm going to play you this video. It's hard to hear the audio. There are subtitles. There's text on the screen. So those of you watching one of the videos, you'll be able to read along. But I will share with you, for those of you listening to an audio stream after the fact, what they said. But it's about, you know, the Carrie Lake, this nut job, is her whole thing is, oh, the election was stolen. There was fraud. And Von Hilliard is saying to her, if you're contending that there are irregularities and fraud in this election, so aren't you undermining Americans' faith in our elections? And why don't you, you know, file charges if that's the case? And ooh, did it get ugly. Roll the videotape.
You're contending that there's irregularities and there is fraud in this election. At what point does Carrie Lake stop and say, am I undermining Americans' faith in our elections?
Is Carrie Lake going to help bring back honesty?
Okay, he said, at what point does Carrie Lake stop and say, am I undermining Americans' faith in our elections? And Carrie Lake refers to herself in the third person. And she says, Carrie Lake is going to help bring honest elections back to America. Oh, do tell.
But you haven't even laid out any fraud or irregularities.
And then he says to her, but you haven't even laid out any fraud or irregularities. And she looks at the camera. Remember, she's a former television news anchor. Fake news anchor. And she looks straight at the camera and she says, and unfortunately, people like Vaughn, the name of the reporter, are about destroying America. What?
But what fraud is there, Carrie? What fraud is there?
And then he's asking her, so what fraud is there? And she's Vaughn. And he said, this is serious. Oops.
This is serious.
You want to make this about you?
No, and this is about Arizona voters and their faith in this election.
Okay, so he says this is about, you know, the election. And she says, the last person that I'd tell on the planet Earth that I would tell about what we discovered is you and MSDNC. Oh, she's so mature. And then he again asks, so you know about a crime and yet you're not going to report it to authorities? And I'm not telling you about it, she said. Ick. You know, just ick. These are the people that the Republicans want to put in power. I mean, we can go down the list. You know, they're not on the ballot anywhere today. But again, I have to turn to Georgia. And because the compare and contrast of Reverend Raphael Warnock and the idiocy of Herschel Walker, it just, the choice doesn't get any more stark than this. So a break from today's elections to shine a light on the rest of the country and why I believe the Democrats will hold on to the Senate. Because these are your choices, Georgia. Take it away, magic of videotape.
You were playing Russian roulette.
Yes.
With the one bullet in the gun, and you put the gun to the side of your head?
Well, I put it to the side of my head. I put it in my mouth.
I'm running so that ordinary people can have a path of prosperity.
They held the gun to my temple and said he was going to blow my brains out.
Oh, my God.
This is a critical moment in the history of our country. So many people are depending on us.
He talks about thinking of murdering a man who was late delivering a car.
Yeah.
All I could think was how satisfying it would feel to squeeze the trigger, the visceral enjoyment I'd get from seeing the small entry wound and the spray of brain tissue blood like a 4th of July firework exploding behind him.
It's never been my intention to become a politician. I want to be a public servant.
What a difference. These are your choices, Georgia. That is the hashtag.
Follow Don Winslow.
Okay. Don Winslow made that video. So, yeah, you can follow Don Winslow. Thank you, announcer woman. So you see, that it goes on like that. You got Dr. Oz, who's a New Jersey resident running for to be governor of Pennsylvania. John Fetterman is a real man. You know, the comparison and contrasting views of these people are, one day we need to put together a whole montage of them. Warnock is awesome. And Herschel Walker is a nut job. I heard another thing about him, you know, how he denied having all these children out of wedlock, but then the evidence was made clear, and he makes excuses for these children that he doesn't really claim. So he doesn't really, I don't know. I can't figure him out for good reason. I don't really try. All right. There's other election related stuff that I will likely get to, as the hour goes on. I just want to hit on a lot of different topics. The other big, you know, there's a trial going on in Austin, Texas, and it's Alex Jones. And I made the mistake of watching a little bit of it when he took the stand. Just, he's probably still on the stand. Although I did make a sort of vow that I wasn't going to play any of it for you. Oh, it looks like he's done on the stand now. It looks like he's no longer on the stand. I just pulled up the video. But you know what? I'm going to sort of backtrack on my promise to play for you two clips. So this happened in the courtroom today. and there's really no reason at all to play this, just to hear how the judge talks to this sorry excuse for a human being as he's like chewing his cud. It'll make sense when I play it for you. What this trial is about is, for 10 years now, Alex Jones has sworn on his radio show that the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, never really happened, that it was a false flag, that it's all a hoax, that they're all actors. That's what this trial is about, really, to see how many millions of dollars he needs to pay the families of the victims. But let me share this two short clips with you. The first is the admonishment by the judge to this piece of shit.
I've been told that it goes on, and he says that he's sorry.
Oh, they're talking about a video. You know what? I should play that other one first. Well, I'll play it after. A video that I'm about to show you was a clip from his show where even though he's on trial, he's still pushing the same bullshit.
And we'd ask that the entire party.
Spit your gum out, Mr. Jones.
Spit your gum out, Mr. Jones.
Because you're not allowed food or gum of any kind in the courtroom.
I had my tooth pulled a week and a half ago, and I had some gauze in there earlier.
Oh, God.
It's been causing me to have some pain.
So you're chewing on your gauze?
Would you like me to show you?
No, right I just here? Want you to answer my question.
No, I was massaging the hole in my mouth with my tongue.
Oh, my God. And he's opening his mouth. And she said, oh, God. Okay. I'm sorry. That's disgusting. She didn't want to see your gum, you miscreant. Ugh. But here is the clip. And apparently, all right, there's a husband and wife who lost their son, Jesse. You know what? Sorry. They didn't lose their son. Their son, Jesse, was murdered in Newtown by that killer. And so this is the clip that they played in court that even while he's on trial for lying and saying that these people didn't suffer what they actually suffered, he continues the lies. This is the clip they played that they bitched that it was out of context.
Oh, and I got to say this. I've now met Neil Heslin and his ex-wife. Those people are real.
Saying they're real.
A lot of anomalies. The government lies so much. I've spent days, literally 7 feet, 8 feet away from Heslin. Because we're sitting right there. They're sitting right there. That guy's real.
Yeah. After you've claimed for 10 years that they were crisis actors. Keep going. See how big a hole you can dig for yourself, you piece of shit.
I thought it was an act when I saw some of the stuff on TV just because he came off as so let's just say he's a nice man and
oh my God.
It's not an act. He is being manipulated by some very bad people.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'll just say it because I gotta be honest. He's slow, okay? And his ex-wife is not. And I don't think he's stupid. I'm just saying he's I've got family members that are really smart in a lot of ways, but they're just real kind of quiet and have this way about them. And
oh my goodness.
And they move at a different pace. Like they're fast in some ways and slow in others. And he's.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Heslin acts like somebody on the spectrum.
Oh,
and it makes me feel like an even bigger jerk.
You are a bigger jerk.
When I saw him, I'm like, there's something about this guy. This doesn't look. And now that I've been around him for over a week, I'm like, okay. Now I know. And folks, I don't have some calculated point just to bring that up here.
Are you
fucking kidding
me? It's just
that I'm around these people and I'm looking at it and I'm watching what's being said and what's going on. And it really then makes it clear what happened.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Makes what clear? Nothing is clear except that you, I hope they take every penny you've ever made. Notice I didn't say earned. I said made. Because he didn't earn shit. My God. All right. So I looked for an update during while that was playing. It's horrible. And then he bitched that they edited the segment and they should play the whole show. In fact, the mother of Jesse, the wife of the man that he disparaged, was on the stand for the little portion that I saw. And she was asked about that clip, and the judge or the lawyer asked, "Did you watch the whole show, or did you just see the clip?" She said, "I don't watch the show. No, my son, her still living son, found that online, and that's where she saw it." Can you imagine? I just can't. And so, yeah, it's just. Ugly. And I hope it's winding down now. And I hope they issue the biggest payout in history. I hope it rivals the billion, dollar plus jackpot that went to one winner the other night. Seriously. We need some justice in this country and we certainly don't get it. All right. What else do I want to play for you? There's, all right. the Midas Touch guys, they don't do a whole lot of those ads anymore. That's how they started things out. But they did put out one against, sorry, to go back to the phone call we had earlier, and I know I'm jumping around, I'm sorry. Bear with me. I'm having a rough time. So this is a Midas Touch ad dealing with the Republicans penalizing veterans because they don't like the fact that the Democrats pulled one over on them, right? That they won a victory and outmaneuvered them. So this is what the Midas Touch boys put together for that.
Republicans blocked a burn pit bill, which is meant to help veterans exposed to toxins while serving our country.
The most despicable part of this whole thing is watching on the Senate floor Ted Cruz fist bumping and then patting each other on the back when they blocked this bill, celebrating their victory over veterans with cancer. Way to go, guys.
Republicans kill veterans is the hashtag there. They made it very, very easy to understand, to get the message, what they're saying there. I don't know if they voted yet on it. I don't have the TV on in the background, but this should pass today because after the Republicans came out so strongly against the veterans, they decided all of a sudden that they're going to, support the bill now. No hypocrisy there. And no, we don't see your true colors.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Speaking of bullshit, the former guy is out there. I don't play him often. You know, I try to keep, and I'm not going to play the video of this because I don't want to make you look at his face. But this is Donald Trump's solution to homelessness in America.
All kinds, from all places, lying along the roads, that's without the tents. And then you look at the tents and the homeless, and you say, what's happening to this great bastion?
He doesn't
Perhaps
know the
some
meaning
people
of the
will not like hearing this, but the only way you're going to remove the hundreds of thousands of people, and maybe throughout our nation, millions of people we're talking about, and help make our cities clean, safe, and beautiful again.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I have to show this because obviously I didn't watch it. When I pulled the video, I heard the clip and thought, this man is out of his mind. He's talking about putting Americans in tent cities. I guess he doesn't know. Well, he doesn't know history, so he doesn't understand what Hoovervilles were. But he's saying Newsmax is carrying this. He was speaking at the America First event, whatever the hell that is. But I glanced over at the screen, and half of the screen is an advertisement for something called the Save America Special. And they're offering a free gold coin on qualifying offers if you text Trump to the numbers that they can put on the screen. I shouldn't be laughing because this is really sad and it's really pathetic. This is what the Republican Party has come to. This is today's Republican Party. Save America Special, free gold coin on qualifying orders. For offer details, text Trump to these numbers that I'm not going to give you. Oh, my God. And as he continues, talking about putting homeless people into tent cities.
Large parcels of inexpensive land in the outer reaches of the cities. Bring medical professionals, including doctors, psychologists, drug rehab specialists.
Oh, my God.
Build permanent bathrooms and other facilities. Make them good. Make them hard. But build them fast. And create thousands and thousands of high-quality tents, which can be done in one day,
goodness.
One day. And you have to move people out. Now, some people say,
God.
Oh, that's so horrible. No,
you're
horrible is what's happening now. Because now they're in tents, but most of them aren't even tents that function.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it's not that's not a Saturday Night Live skit. It's not a parody. That is a former, I can't even say the words. That's a former guy who used to occupy the Oval Office. Oh, my God. And the from the party who's running candidates like Herschel Walker and Mehmet Oz and what's his name? The hillbilly elegy guy. Really? Come on. Republicans, can we get a moment of sanity here, please? Sanity? Anyone? Bueller? All right. With that, we're done. I made it through the hour. And I didn't even get to the video of Lucas Kuntz's brother. Well, hopefully he wins tonight. Vote! And I can share it for you with you tomorrow. All right. Thanks for bearing with me, everyone. You know, as I work my way through all the insanity here. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, we'll do it again tomorrow one way or another. Okay. And I'll leave you with the news. Thanks for being here. You have no idea. And, hey, have me paint your pet. I could use the work. All right. See you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
If it's Tuesday, it's primary day for voters in Arizona, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, and Washington State, with the possibility of major consequences on the horizon. Two progressive members of the squad are facing primary challenges from centrist, or as I call them, conservadems. In Missouri, that's Cori Bush. In Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, both facing primaries from the right. Also in Michigan, Congressman Andy Levin, another true progressive, is challenged by new Dem Representative Haley Stevens, who's challenging him due to redistricting. In addition to every House race on the ballot, Senate nominees will be chosen in Missouri, Arizona, and Washington. Now, in Missouri, Democrats have a real shot at picking up another Senate seat if Lucas Kuntz prevails in the primary. He, too, was endorsed by Bernie Sanders on Monday. Meanwhile, the former guy has apparently endorsed two Republicans in the race by just simply stating his support was going to Eric. There are two Erics running for the Republican nomination. Eric Greitens, the scandal-plagued former governor who's accused of assaulting his ex-wife, nice, and Eric Schmidt, Missouri's attorney general. Both Greitens and Schmidt immediately claimed the endorsement. There are two other Republicans in the race for the nomination, Representative Vicky Hartzler and Billy Long, but neither of them is named Eric. In Arizona, a handful of election deniers are on the ballot, including two of them running to be Arizona's Secretary of State. The current Secretary of State, Democrat Katie Hobbs, is favored to get her party's nomination in the race for governor. Leading the field for the Republicans to go up against Katie Hobbs is former TV anchor and MAGA reality denier Carrie Lake. Now, there are a few Republicans, a few Trumpers, vying to get on the ballot to oppose Senator Mark Kelly, who will be defending his seat in November. Kansas will be the first state to vote on a measure that could end Kansans' constitutional right to an abortion post-Roe. Today is also a big test for three of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump, who are facing primaries. Representatives Jamie Herrera Butler in Washington, Dan Newhouse in Washington, and Peter Major in Michigan. Trump has endorsed challengers to each of them, and Democrats have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars running ads to support a guy named John Gibbs, Trump's pick to oust Major in Michigan, because they think that the Trumper will be easier to defeat in the general election. Bernie Sanders, when endorsing in the race, also voiced his displeasure with the Democrat strategy. He said, quote, "I think it speaks to the weakness of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has to a large degree turned its back on working families, forfeiting them, giving them over to a right-wing Republican Party, which could care less about them, and therefore you're left with trying to decide who your opponents are going to be." Sorry. Bad impersonation of a good Bernie Sanders. The only Republican who faced a Trump-endorsed challenger after voting to impeach him, Congressman Tom Rice, lost in a blowout in June. Well, they never confirmed it was going to happen, but Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has touched down in Taiwan for a controversial visit. Despite warnings from Biden administration officials who are worried about China's response to such a high-profile visit,
But she's there, a first for U.S. Speaker of the House in 25 years. And it comes at a time when U.S.-China relations are strained.
What she is saying in part in this statement mirrors what we have heard from the Biden administration over the last 24, 48 hours, making the argument that Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan isn't unprecedented, saying that other members of Congress have visited Taiwan and the circumstances today are incredibly different. But the Biden administration has been calling on China not to escalate things, with the Secretary of State saying if there is a crisis that's created here, that would be entirely on China. This visit comes as U.S. intelligence officials have been saying publicly that China has been working hard to be able to militarily take over Taiwan. So while the Biden administration says this one China policy stands, and Speaker Pelosi also said that in her statement, this physical show of support in the context of China trying to build up militarily to take over Taiwan is in and of itself significant.
Reuters is reporting that not only has China made verbal threats, it's also attempting to make physical ones, reporting that several Chinese warships and planes had traveled near the Meridian Line, that's the unofficial border between China and Taiwan, in the Taiwan Strait. But history tells us that Pelosi has always been defiant of Beijing, and so this is nothing new. So you know how those gas prices have been rising and Republicans put those Joe Biden did that stickers on the gas pumps, blaming him? Well, try blaming the oil companies. British energy giant BP reported Tuesday that its second quarter earnings tripled as oil and gas prices skyrocketed after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Go figure. The company said profit rose to $8.45 billion. Up from $2.8 billion in the second quarter of 2021. Wow. These earnings allowed BP to return money to shareholders by boosting its dividend by 10%, with expected 4% annual dividend increases through 2025. The British government has announced a 25% windfall profit tax on energy company earnings from domestic operations as that country struggles with 9.4% inflation. Yes, that's a 40-year high. President Biden, are you listening? Biden made a big national security announcement on Monday night. The U.S. killed Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri in a drone strike. The world's most wanted terrorist and one of the masterminds of the 9/11 attacks was killed after months of highly secret planning by Biden and a number of his senior advisors. The president saying that people around the world no longer need to fear the vicious and determined killer. He said the moment was a political win, as he emphasized that the U.S., quote, will always do what is necessary to ensure the security of Americans. All righty then. A federal judge on Monday sentenced Guy Reffitt, he being the first Capitol rioter to go on trial, to just over 7 years in prison. That's the longest term yet for anybody charged with crimes linked to January 6, 2021 attack on Congress. Reffitt from Wiley, Texas, was found guilty back in March by a federal jury on five felony charges, including obstruction of justice and entering a restricted building with a firearm. Prosecutors had asked the judge to classify Reffitt's crimes as domestic terrorism and give him 15 years in prison. The judge rejected the terrorism classification, saying it would result in a far harsher punishment for Reffitt than the other defendants charged over the insurrection. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.